is because he made it that way, the world's greatest radio station, KSFO San Francisco. Here's John Clark Fortner.
He was a genius. He was the king of San Francisco radio. He was the proprietor of the Club Club. He was Dirty Shirt. He was Fat Neck. He was Super Frog. He was Nudnik. He was Stranger Than Fiction. He was Peck's Bad Boy. He was the mayor of San Francisco. He was the morning man. He was the world's greatest disc jockey. He made the world's greatest radio station. He did it his way, and he's gone. Today is known to some of us as November 4th, 1983. But to most of us, today is the day Don Sherwood died. Here's Bonnie Chastain with more about this sad, inevitable day.
This has been a difficult day for those of us here at KSFO, and yet it's been the most special day we have shared in a long, long time. There have been tears, lots of them, but there have also been laughs and lots of hugs. KSFO has always been a very special place with very special people, and our listeners have been an integral part of making this the world's greatest radio station. Don Sherwood and his listeners shared something very special. We'll relive some of those special moments and share some of those special memories in just a few minutes as KSFO presents a tribute to Don Sherwood, coming up at 6:05 tonight.
A San Quentin correctional officer was arrested this afternoon. Security officers say they found five live 38 caliber rounds of ammunition in the trunk of his car. Governor Duke Majan unveiled four alternatives to the peripheral canal today. The alternate plans would be half as costly and carry the same amount of water to Southern California. The EPA let loose $1 billion in federal funding it's been keeping from Northern California cities. They held the money hostage to force the state to adopt emission controls for cars. It will apparently be 2 weeks or more before William Clark is confirmed as Interior Secretary. The committee, which was supposed to pass his nomination along to the Senate floor today, didn't have enough people on hand to vote. The Labor Department pegged October unemployment at 8.8% nationwide. That's good economic news. In California, October, 8.4%. Israel retaliated swiftly today for the bombing this morning of its army headquarters in Lebanon. Israel has bombed Palestinian guerrilla targets near the Lebanese capital, sealed off southern Lebanon from Israel to the south and Beirut to the north. 400 soldiers from the 82nd Airborne Division arrived today at North Carolina's Pope Air Force Base. Larry Flint refused to tell a federal grand jury where he got the videotape showing John DeLorean's role in a $24 million drug sting operation. Flint says that every time he was asked about the DeLorean tapes, he just told them what was on the Vicky Morgan sex tapes. Investors turned away from favorable unemployment figures and led Wall Street into another retreat today. The Dow Industrial slipped 8.84 to 1,218.29 on moderately active trading of 72 million shares. Declines led advances by a margin of 9 to 5. KSFO Sports reports that Roscoe Tanner combined with Andrea Yeager to beat top-seeded John Lloyd and Wendy Turnbull in today's quarterfinal action in the World Mixed Doubles Championship. In tonight's other quarterfinal matches, Bjorn Borg and Bettina Bungy take on Ilina Stassi and Hannah Manlikova, while Chris Everett Lloyd and Jimmy Connors meet Carling Bassett and Vince Van Patten. Center Steve Johnson of the Kansas City Kings will spend the weekend in a local hospital for observation of a respiratory infection. Johnson will miss tomorrow's home game against Houston, and it's unknown when he'll rejoin the NBA club. Representatives for the NBA and the referees union will meet in Philadelphia next Monday. In hopes of ending their contract dispute, the referees' demands include an immediate salary increase of 48%. The NBA is currently using substitute officials. A federal jury in Providence, Rhode Island, took less than 2 hours to clear Sports Illustrated of libel charges in an $8 million lawsuit filed by former NBA guard Ernie DeGregorio. And the Montreal Manic folded today, moving the North American Soccer League closer to oblivion. Molson Breweries, the owner of the club, reports losing $10 million since taking over the operation in 1981. The NASL has now lost 14 of its 24 teams in the last 3 years. The weather for the Bay Area, partly cloudy tonight, becoming mostly sunny tomorrow, partly cloudy then tomorrow night and Sunday, with a chance of showers developing on Sunday. The highs tomorrow and Sunday will be in the mid to upper 60s, with winds to 15 miles per hour through tomorrow. Overnight lows will be in the low to mid 50s tonight. Currently, here on Nob Hill, it is 62 degrees. That's KSFO News. I'm John Clark Fortner.
Don southward up the great Sacramento Valley and into the mountains. And there in the corner of the state, we find Alturas, side of the famous Alturas Rock Festival. We move into a little narrow valley, a little dirt road, and there in the bottom of it is an old weather-beaten shack and an old-timer. Good morning, old-timer. Good morning, good morning, good morning.
Howdy, Stevie. How are you? Pull up a pig and sit down.
No, thank you very much. I prefer to stand, if you don't mind.
They're a little slippery in the early morning.
Well, what would this rain for the mind? The program
Dr. Gas.
Gets rid of the frothy bubbles inside of your head. Join me now as we enter the good doctor's office. There is another new punk burning in the corner as the other one had to go into the service. And we find the good doctor dressed as Leif Erikson. Good morning, doctor.
Good morning.
It gives you an opportunity to use your...
Yeah, it does.
Your Nordic accent.
Yes, it does, and I like to do that, Carter.
Excited about the Big Pal game coming up May 24th, the Cow Palace. KSFO No Stars against Reno VIPs, and I have here my pitcher, Reggie Van Gleason.
Good to see you.
It's good to see you, Reggie. Now, I want to ask you, you're going to be our pitcher, and all pitchers have special things that they do with their hands before they pitch a game.
Yes.
Hello again, this is your sidewalk reporter on the corner of Eddie and Franklin Streets in downtown San Francisco. But you know 9 out of 10 citizens here in San Francisco listen to KSFO radio. Here's a gentleman just coming out of a liquor store. Pardon me, sir. May I have your name, please?
Certainly, certainly. My name is Garth M. Blast. That's for Marlowe.
Garth Marlowe.
That's right. I've never seen so much traffic here at Eddie and Franklin.
The theme from Mr. Lucky, one of Sherwood's many theme songs, but probably the one most of us remember. Yes, I said Sherwood. Don Sherwood isn't really necessary. There's only one. He left us today. It's a Friday, the end of the work week for most, and it's a gray day in San Francisco. Good evening, I'm Jeff Skoll. Aaron Edwards is with me, and for the next who knows how long, a couple of hours maybe, we're going to reminisce. We'll shed some tears, no doubt, and if we do, please bear with us. But more than that, I think, we'll share some laughs, lots of them. That's the Don Sherwood we remember, the one who made us laugh out loud with that infectious, dirty laugh of his. Donny Babe. We've been doing it all day long on KSFO, sharing memories from those who work with him here at the world's greatest radio station, and from you, whose lives he touched. We've suspended commercial programming, and during the special memorial tonight, you'll hear some of the people who remember Don with us today, and you'll hear lots from him. Just in case, and this is not at all likely, just in case you don't know Sherwood, we're going to give you a taste right now of what he did.
Hi, this is Don Sherwood. We thought you'd get a kick out of listening in on some KSFO recording sessions. You know, a lot of times it takes a great deal of doing to get the perfect commercial that you hear on the radio. The giggling mass of jelly is Jack Carney. Because this record will go into your home, we've used a horn to cover all the shame words. Listen.
Hello again, this is your sidewalk reporter on the corner of Eddie and Franklin Streets in downtown San Francisco. But you know 9 out of 10 citizens here in San Francisco listen to KSFO radio. Here's a gentleman just coming out of a liquor store. Pardon me, sir. May I have your name, please?
Certainly, certainly. My name is Garth M. Blast. That's for Marlowe.
Garth Marlowe.
That's right. I've never seen so much traffic here at Eddie and Franklin in my whole life.
What's the name of the liquor store you just came out of?
Marlowe's.
Hello again, this is your sidewalk reporter on the corner of 14th and Evans Street in Daly City. As you probably know, 9 out of 10 residents of San Francisco listen to KSFO radio. And here early in the morning is a gentleman coming out of a cocktail lounge. May I have your name, please?
You certainly may, yes.
Your name, please?
Oh, that.
Hello again for KSFO Radio. This is your man on the street. And as you probably know, 9 out of 10 people in San Francisco always listen to KSFO. Here comes General. Pardon me, sir.
Yes.
Scared the hell out of me, sir. What's your name, please?
None of your...
Hello again, this is your man on the street on Powell Street in San Francisco. As you know, 9 out of 10 residents of our city listen to KSFO radio. Going to start. Here comes a gentleman now walking down in the gutter, as downcast as if he's looking for something. Pardon me, sir. May I have your name, please?
I wish you wouldn't bother me at this time.
What seems to be the problem?
I lost my chewing gum.
Here, have a stick of mine.
And sometimes we can't get off the ground at all. This is... In this session, in order to get one commercial, we had to start 26 times. Here's a few reasons why.
Hello again, this is your man on the street, on Powell Street. As you probably know, 9 out of 10 people in San Francisco listen to KSFO radio. And, oh, here comes a gentleman now wearing a Tyrolean hat, lederhosen. Pardon me, sir, may I ask your name, please?
Yes, my name is Herr von Silfleich.
Herr von Silfleich, do you live here in San Francisco?
Yes, I do. I live here and I work here and I love it. It's a wonderful city. It's so cosmopolitan and all
yes,
that.
Yes, sir, where did you come from, if I may ask?
I can't remember. I've been sick.
Amnesia, is that right,
something
amnesia?
Something like that, I believe. Or hives, I can't remember.
Hello again, this is your man on the street on Powell Street here in San Francisco. As you probably know, 9 out of 10 San Franciscans listen to KSFO radio. And here comes the gentleman now, Tyrolean hat, lederhosen, very dapper looking. Pardon me, sir.
Yes.
May I ask your name, please?
Yes, my name is Eric von Silfleich.
Eric von Silfleich. Herr von Silfleich, do you live here in San Francisco?
Yes, I really do.
How long have you lived here now?
Oh, about an hour and a half.
And so we tried it again.
Your KSFO man on the street. And shut up.
Take 4.
Hello again, this is your KSFO man on the street. Take 5.
Those are tiny.
Those are short, we can use those.
You can use those. Oh. All right, let's go.
Scratch that.
Up till now, Carney'd been doing all the goofing. Here's where I got the disease.
Once again, there's your KSFO man on the street talking to interesting people with interesting occupations. Your name, sir?
Charcoal J. Madison.
Charcoal J.
Yes,
Madison.
You can call me Charky.
Hiya,
my friends
Charky.
Call me Charky.
What business are you in?
I'm
sir?
In the ad business, boy. That's what I'm in.
I figured you were.
I'm in with the wonderful team of Art Barton Fargo.
What's the matter with that?
Once again, this is your KSFO man on the street talking to interesting people with interesting occupations. Your name, sir?
Madison J. Sweatbox.
I don't know. I forgot.
Charcoal J.
Madison. That's right, okay.
This is your KSFO man on the street, and of course, KSFO brings you music and sports. That's why, of course, 9 out of 10 San Franciscans listen to KSFO. And speaking of sports, we're standing outside the famous Handler's Gymnasium, where all the big wrestlers train, and here comes a brute of a man through the door. I wish you could see him. He must be at least 6'10", with big, broad shoulders. Pardon me, sir, you're one of the famous wrestlers seen on television, aren't you?
That's right, fellow. Yes.
I knew I recognized you, sir. What is your wrestling name?
Tiger Dan.
Tiger
yes,
Dan.
I wrestle under that name.
I've seen you wrestle many times, and I'm a great fan, Tiger Dan.
Thank you very much. As you know, my special winning hold,
yeah,
if
what,
you watch.
What is your winning hold?
The soul kiss.
The soul kiss.
That's right.
That's wonderful.
There's one for you.
Here's one that really got out of hand. Listen.
From Candlestick Park, this is your KSFO man on the street. Just chatting with a few of the fans, a young lady here. How do you do, ma'am?
Yeah, how do you do, son?
Great. Very nice to see you out at the ballpark. Notice all the exciting activity here after the game. You
yes.
notice all the men in the background?
I know where it is.
No, all the men in the background taking down the signs, ma'am.
If you wouldn't help me, could you?
What's the problem?
All those men took that sign down. I guess. I'd certainly like to find it. You didn't see Somebody walked by with it.
Which sign was it you had in mind, ma'am?
Well, I'd like to rest. Did that give you a hint?
Which sign was it? They've taken the model down.
Well, there goes the sign. I'm not at liberty to say at this time, but I'd sure appreciate some help.
They've taken down every sign in Candlestick.
Every one.
The big sign, the beer signs, everything has gone down. Which sign were you looking for? Which sign did you have in mind? The one said TT.
Shame to you.
You quit pressing him for the...
Well, it was about here where you noticed a predominance of horn that we decided to forget the whole thing and go home.
Oh, that's beautiful. Don Sherwood and Jack Carney, and I should tell you right now that this program is total freeform. It's being put together as we speak on the air, so we're going to have all kinds of fun and all kinds of reminiscences. Don Sherwood and Jack Carney, and that was made into a record, a little the size of a 45 at 33 RPMs, and sent out to KSFO listeners, sent out to tens of thousands of them, I might add. As you no doubt know by now, Don Sherwood died today. He was 58 years old. His son Greg found him in Don's apartment, and when they got to the hospital, Don was pronounced dead on arrival. He had suffered from emphysema for quite some time, and in 1979, he talked about the disease that would later kill him. A reminiscence from Don Sherwood, which we will probably share with you shortly. This was from an interview he did with Lon Simmons back in 1979, Lon Simmons did a program. Here's Don now about emphysema.
I have emphysema, and I got a little bit of a pulmonary attack and came pretty close. You know, I walked through the valley of the shadow of death there, but I was the meanest son of a gun in the valley, so I came out the other side. Everything's cool now, Bud. And as far as what I'm going to do, I'm going to keep thinking until my thinking matches my age, and that might take another 10 years.
But that was not to be. There were only 3 more years. At the request of his family, son Greg and his 2 sisters, there will be no memorial service. Don's ashes will be scattered on the bay that meant so much to him. His family requests that memorials be given to the Don Sherwood Pulmonary Fund, care of the Pacific Medical Foundation at the Pacific Medical Center, 2340 Clay Street in San Francisco, 94115. Aaron Edwards is perhaps the name one most associates with Don Sherwood at KSFO. Aaron is with me here tonight, and Aaron, there are all kinds of memories that you've shared with our listeners already today. Let's go back, and the most frequently asked question, I'm sure, and the one we all want to know, what was it really like? What was it all about?
Well, you're right. This was the most frequently asked question. What is Don Sherwood really like? Why do you let him do to you what he does? And he was just a super person to me. I learned from him. He was creative. I felt he was the most original guy that I could ever meet in my life, and it was true. Some of that which we were listening to a little while ago, the breakups, he used to break me up all the time because I found that he was a very funny guy. I suppose he enjoyed the fact that I was a good audience for him. But at the same time, he and I did a series of commercials for Groden's, which later on won awards, by the way. Advertising councils gave them awards. And we did those commercials in the very same way that Don worked all the time, and that is totally without script. We made a couple of notes. They wanted to sell slacks or sport jackets or something. That's all we knew, and maybe the brand name. But it was done without any copy, and we went in there and did them. We took hours for them to make just a very few minutes worth of commercials because there were constant breakups. The outtakes, which in the case of what you heard a little while ago was done with a horn, beep. Well, the outtakes were put together on a large reel, and they belonged to the advertising agency, and every so often they bring them out for party record. It was funny. It was also quite dirty and stuff that you couldn't use on the air.
How'd you get to... Your pairing was accidental, was it not?
It was totally accidental. I was the newsman in the morning hours, and we hit it off, and he started to talk to me a little bit on the air about myself and my family and things that I do and so forth and so on. He sort of weeded it and rolled it in together as program content. And he'd call me in and talk to me about things, ask my opinions on stuff which he never regarded anyway, but it was always good for a laugh. And so pretty soon we began to gel. We began to hit it off very well. He was assuming the role of a mean, dirty guy, and he made me assume the role, and not by script or anything, it just fell together that way. I was the very settled guy, like, what did you do on the weekend, Aaron? I went to the dumps, I told him, mostly because I didn't want to tell him where we were. But I went to the dumps, and so he would come back with, oh, you people are refurnishing the house again, huh? And so we were assuming, picking up stuff there. When I did go to the dumps, like many homeowners did, people would say, hey, you really do come down here, you know. So anyway, but this became part of my life, and wherever I went, people would remind me of things that he said, that he did, and it gelled. This is what I'm trying to say. We worked together just beautifully, and it was never scripted. It was never, you say this, and then I'll say that. I never knew where it was going. Much as I enjoyed coming to work every morning with him, really looked forward to it, I also largely lived in fear because I never knew what was going to happen next.
You didn't know either whether he was going to show up or not.
No, that's another thing. My claim to fame around here was really working with this guy, and it wasn't until 6:05 that I was aware whether he was going to be here or whether I was going to do the show for the first hour or even 2 hours. There were times that he walked in here at 8 o'clock, one-third of his program left to do, but he never said, I'm sorry, or I couldn't make it, or too bad you had to. He walked in whenever he got here. It was as if that was when he was due to walk in, and he sat down to go to work. That was it.
Aaron's going to be with us throughout this tribute to Don Sherwood, but before we move on, one quick question, and we'll get back with Aaron. But tell me briefly, Aaron, Don Sherwood, the man, your memories, your thoughts there tonight.
Well, when I hear the name Don Sherwood, I also hear a laugh. The laugh that you've been hearing on some of the stuff that you've been playing so far, and we'll hear throughout. That laugh was more than just the response to a reaction. It also was a series of sayings and words. He said things in a laugh that he couldn't have expressed in words, in speech. And I remember this guy for his laugh. It was a genuine, warm laugh at times. Sometimes it dug you. Sometimes it was sarcastic. But it fit with every situation. He could speak through that chuckle.
Indeed he could. Aaron Edwards with some memories of Don Sherwood. And as I say, Aaron is going to be with us throughout our tribute tonight, and we'll get back to him. Aaron was really Don's first sidekick, if you will, the first person who, on a regular basis, shared the microphone with Sherwood and also filled in with him when he didn't show up. His second sidekick, the one who took over after Aaron, was Carter B. Smith, who was later to leave KSFO. But Carter talked with us today, and he, too, had some memories of Don Sherwood.
About 20% of the time, he wasn't at work. And he got away with it. And he got away with it because of his incredible ratings and incredible popularity, and also the unbelievable understanding nature of the management at KSFO. And I think it's high time that we mention him. I'm sure it hasn't been mentioned this morning, but Bill Shaw, who is now retired, William D. Shaw.
We talked with Bill on the air.
Oh, you did. Well,
go ahead.
He was just so understanding. And, of course, Bill never wanted anybody to say that Don had been drinking. Don always had a cold to Bill, which I always thought was very classy. And Bill would see me in the lobby, and he'd say, well, where's Twinkle Toes this morning? And I'd say, he's drunk, Bill, you know that. And he didn't like to hear that. He always wanted Don to have a bad cold or something.
Let's talk for a moment about Sherwood's personality, his off-air personality. We were talking earlier with Ronnie Schell, and Ronnie was saying that Sherwood really didn't like showbiz.
On one level he didn't, and on another level he did. I, as a performer with him, know that he did like it. There were some parts of it he did not like. Like much talent, he was a very introverted fellow. He had a very personal life, and he didn't want that to be impinged upon. He was a very private man. But as an entertainer, his art, his talent, was so monstrously strong that when he was right, you could see he just loved it. I mean, it was thrilling to be in the room with him when he was functioning. as he only he could, because he just reveled in that. And anybody who has an art and a skill like that, to practice it is the highest form of creativity, you know. And he loved that part of it.
Carter B., you've got all kinds of memories, thousands of them, I'm sure, about Sherwood. Is there one that is most memorable, that's the funniest, the most outrageous, the thing that on this day of his death that comes to your mind?
I think of Don as a very warm, understanding man who I knew as a friend, who could be very understanding and very empathetic with other people. And not too many people saw this side of him, Jeff. He was like a lot of people who are hit upon for favors all the time. He was a very hard man to get to know really well, and I don't think anybody really ever totally knew him from A to Z. But I don't think of his humor as much as I think of his great warmth. I really think about that. And secondly, I think of, again, not his humor, but what he contributed to the Bay. I'm thinking of the Bay Conservation and Development Commission. And I think this should be underscored and should be right up at the top of his obit in the tremendous skill and the tremendous effort he went to make sure that the BCDC was enacted in spite of tremendous political pressure that it not be enacted. And it reads like a great story, like a great book, how Gene McAteer and Sherwood and myself and people like you, we worked behind the scenes, we worked in front to motivate people to the extent that that bill was passed in spite of strong political opposition.
Carter B. Smith, one of Sherwood's sidekicks, with some memories of his pal, Don Sherwood. Carter talked about his, Sherwood's involvement in political causes, and as I was saying to listeners as we chatted this afternoon, he was really ahead of his time, and he was a conservationist before being into conservation was in vogue, and he was supporting the American Indian movement before that was the thing to do. He was a man of peace before that became the fashionable thing to do. He was a very, very intelligent man, very well read. He was also a character, as you know, and Sherwood and Carter together, their bits, they did many of them. The most famous is probably Super Frog. Unfortunately, we don't have a Super Frog episode to play for you tonight, but we do have Sherwood and Carter and their version of Dr. Don.
The Milo T. Mellon Trust, in cooperation with your local outlet, presents Dr. Don, the Digel for the Mind program.
Dr. Gas.
Gets rid of the frothy bubbles inside of your head. Join me now as we enter the good doctor's office. There's another new punk burning in the corner as the other one had to go into the service. And we find the good doctor dressed as Leif Erikson. Good morning, doctor.
Good morning.
It gives you an opportunity to use your...
it does.
Your Nordic accent?
Yes, it does, and I like to do that, Carter. It's a little fun and light.
Exactly.
A little chuckle.
Shall we get on with the letters?
No. Yes, Carter. Okay. I'm just fooling with you.
I know.
Trying to brighten an otherwise foggy and gray day.
I can't, really, the weather has really got me down. I've never in my whole life ever been affected by the weather as much as I have now. I'm so sick of it.
Yeah, well, I think everybody suffers that, so it's good to know that you're human.
Because you've had some doubt.
Yes.
I don't know how people live in the East where the weather is always like this. How do they do it? I'd be
They're miserable
depressed,
people all the
horrible.
Time. Mm. They are.
Dear Dr. Don, I work as a fortune teller in a laundromat. My slogan is, do the wash for Ma while Swami reads your paw. That's very clever.
I like it.
One day during an extended lull in the business, I felt that one of the washing machines was trying to tell me something, and as I listened, it poured out its heart to me and told me of its many problems, overloading, over-soaping, the indiscriminate hands of the repairman, etc. And now I think I'm in love with the machine. Dr. Don, do you think we have a chance for happiness? What will happen as the years go by and her knobs fall off and her coin slot gets rusty And what about her father, the old dryer? Tell me, what do I do with this machine?
Oh, boy. Flock of them flew over that time. I don't believe in love for inanimate objects. It's just not healthy, that's all. They can't return your love. I fell in love with a vacuum cleaner once, and it was...
Never worked out, did
no,
it?
No, it was not meaningful. You want to...
Oh, take a moment out. In other words, your advice is to the Sudsy Swami to...
Break it off.
Right now.
Yeah.
Possibly work as a fortune teller somewhere else.
Yes.
On to letter number two.
Yes.
It's a very interesting letter. I hope you can help me with my problem, Dr. Don. I have a very good job, which I'm afraid I'm in jeopardy of losing, and my problem should be solved immediately. I'm 44 years old, very handsome, intelligent, have a fantastic sense of humor, extremely popular, and very well thought of. And my job calls for me to be on the deck early in the morning. Some days I just can't make it. I just ignore that old alarm clock and turn over and go back to sleep. Now, in your infinite wisdom and practical knowledge, maybe you'll have an answer for me. Incidentally, my field is radio, for which I am ideally suited. It's unsigned.
Just doesn't show up all the time, is that it?
Mm-hmm.
Handsome, intelligence, a fantastic sense of humor. Should be able to get by missing a few days.
I see. I had a hunch you'd come up with that answer.
Yeah. Should be able to get by with it for a reasonable length of time.
The old candle at both ends trick, eh?
Right.
Leif Erikson hat with the one horn in the middle. We leave the good doctor until tomorrow, maybe.
Only, unfortunately, in this case, Don Sherwood will not be back tomorrow. In case you hadn't heard, he died today. He was 58 years old. If you've been away from KSFO today, we have spent the day, the entire day, reminiscing. People who knew him, people who worked with him. Most importantly, today, we spent the day with you, our listeners, Don's listeners, and we shared memories with as many of you as we could. Many of the people who worked with him were superstars, the disc jockeys, if you will. We call them personalities now, but they were disc jockeys then. Jim Lang, Al Collins, to name just a few. Carter B. Smith, from whom we've heard. Aaron Edwards, who's with me tonight. Dan Sorkin was another giant of our industry. I spoke with him earlier today.
I'll tell you, the immediate thought I had was an infectious laugh. I can never think of Don without hearing that marvelous, long, raucous, infectious laugh. And the what I heard, what had happened today, all sorts of marvelous, warm memories just flooded into my head. I remember a PAL game at the Cow Palace. And this was just after I'd had my leg sawed off. And I was at the PAL game with a couple of beers that Reno Barsacchini had brought in. And when I got up to bat, I had the Harley Davidson waiting at first base, waiting there at home plate. And Don and I were having a conference at the at home plate. And I put El McGreer on the back of the motorcycle, and he said, "Don't touch that woman, sir, or I'll have your head." Aaron Edwards was standing there just gaping. And there was another side to Don, too, that I don't think very many people knew. He came to visit me at the Novato Hospital when I was trying to figure out what had happened to me. And he said, "By the way, when you get the thing, when you get a new leg, what color are you going to have it?" So we were discussing color schemes. That was the kind of guy he was.
He sure was. And those listeners who may not know Dan Sorkin, and I think there are hardly any of those out there, but Dan's not joking. He wouldn't joke about something like that. He did have part of his leg sawed off because of a motorcycle accident. Now, as I recall, did you not come here from Chicago to take on... Didn't you come to San Francisco to try to unseat Don Sherwood?
Yes. In a roundabout manner, I went over to what is that other radio? There's another radio station there. I always forget.
KFRC was that?
That's it.
Yes.
KFRC, and I went to work there in the morning, and I made a lot of friends in San Francisco, but no ratings. And Don was opposite me, and we used to joke about about that fact. We were friends when when I was in Chicago, and I'd organized a Rose Bimler club that Don became the West Coast representative of. And when I went to work for KFRC, we had this this really friendly rivalry where he would just chuckle, and he would call me on the air from KSFO trying to get me listeners.
That's right, I recall that.
So we shared a couple for a while.
Do you remember, Sherwood and Carney did it, but I'm pretty sure that you and Sherwood did it too, trying to record promos. Remember some of the great outtakes you guys trying to get through a particular recording session?
Well, Don and I were never able to complete one because 10 to 12 seconds into it, we were both laughing so hard that it just never came off. There was something about a fishing boat that I recall. Hank Schramm, Salmon Queen.
Sure, yeah.
Hank was in the studio with us, and Bobby Texera was engineering this fiasco. And Hank Schramm tried to say Salmon Queen, and it kept coming out. Hank Schramm is a fishing queen, and it just broke us both up. We were never able to complete the spot.
Beautiful. Tell me your thoughts, Don Sherwood, the man.
Well, he was. Don, I think everybody would agree anyway, was a giant of a talent. There wasn't anybody in the country who could touch what it was he did. He had a commonality. He had a humor that was universal. He just wasn't a comic or a disc jockey. He was a genuine American wit who was able to turn it on and turn it off at a moment's notice. I had the feeling when I would visit San Francisco while doing shows in Chicago, long before I came to work for either KSFO or settled in San Francisco, that I was hearing it was more than just an artist. I was hearing an audio painter at work. The canvases he drew for me on the radio was just unbelievable. I would sit in my car in the 980 Sacramento garage and listen to whole shows and go back to Chicago very humble.
Dan Sorkin on Don Sherwood. Dan Sorkin joining us on KSFO this afternoon. We have more memories to share with you, the people who worked with Donny Babe, the people who worked against him, some of his friends, some of his many friends, and we're going to share some more memories with Aaron Edwards in just a few moments. Right now we're going to go back again and relive more of the Sherwood magic. This one, an attempt, and I emphasize attempt, at a radio jingle.
Gather around. Hey, yahoo! Here's come over here by the campfire.
Fire, fire.
Ladies, thank you. In the land called California, in a city by the bay. Favorite radio station, and the people always say. When you're looking for a station, and you get to 560. You ride along forever on the KSFNO. Sherwood is the starter, and he gets it understood.
Does he really get it understood?
And there's a Smith named Carter. He's a member of the team.
Blink for us, DJ Carter. Woo! That all you say?
At noon along comes Carney, then Sorkin keeps it loose.
Keep it loose.
From 8 to 12 is Collins, and Kennedy rides caboose. In the land called California, in a city by the bay. Their favorite radio station. Whoops, and the people all miss. When you're looking for a station, and you get to 560, you ride along forever on the KSFNO. Yes, sir, folks. Here in the big sky country with the stars at night are as big and bright as anywhere. The old KSFO corral, just a-settin' here, smoking our doggies, offer you a big warm Western handshake.
history. So come on over. Hey.
Somehow I don't think that will be in the Radio Hall of Fame. Don Sherwood and the silly, off-the-wall, just crazy guy kind of stuff he used to do. I'm Jeff Skov, and you're listening to KSFO at 20 before 7, in case you just joined us. And we're reliving some memories, sharing some thoughts about Don Sherwood. Aaron Edwards, his close friend and longtime sidekick, is with me. Aaron, things like that, putting together that radio jingle. What kind of a mind?
Well, you said off the wall. And this was it. He would come forth with something, and everybody latched on because his suggestions were creative, and they usually had substance to them. He, you remember, called himself the world's greatest disc jockey. And a lot of people referred to him that way. When he referred to himself that way, he was laughing. He was laughing because he said, if I knew how to pick artichokes, he said, I could be the world's greatest artichoke picker. He was really saying, you are what you think you are. And many of the things that came out of his mouth were bits of philosophy. We used to laugh about him. He was laughing at himself, and he was also laughing at the people who thought he was so great. He didn't think that he was that great.
No, he didn't. And a lot of the people that I talked to on the air this afternoon, you know, talked about Don Sherwood, the great, what a great man. He was a great talent and a very, very creative, funny, funny man. And we've heard that already tonight. We'll hear it more. But as he wasn't, as great men go, great leaders of our time, he wasn't one of those.
He was creative. He was not totally self-centered, which a lot of creative people are.
He was very shy.
As a matter of fact, he was very shy, so much so that, you know, his not coming to work on time in the morning or not coming at all was just part of his handling of his radio career. But there were many occasions where he wouldn't go to pick up awards. I went in his place, and it became a standing gag. They would introduce Don Sherwood, and this non-Don Sherwood would walk up to the microphone and say, Don isn't here tonight, which is what I used to say in the mornings. Don isn't here this morning, and they caught on immediately. I was here in his place to pick up the award, and it was not because he thought it was a running gag. He was shy, as you say. He did not like large crowds of people.
We're going to hear from him in a second talking about his life, but don't you think, too, that one of the things that made him shy or shy away from people is the his personal life. He had five marriages, at least, mm-hmm. as I recall. Yeah. He liked his cocktails. He got into some trouble with the law. He wasn't an upstanding citizen in that regard.
He was also not a very happy man.
True.
He was not a happy man. He suffered a lot of sadness, as you say, unhappy marriages, and he covered it up with wise cracks, which a lot of people go through life doing. But his wise cracks were funny. They were creative. They didn't put people down. They didn't insult people. It wasn't a Don Rickles routine where he had cut...